This week's our Parsha Mitzrayim focuses on Parshas Lech Lecha, and in Parshas Lech Lecha we encounter the beginning of Jewish
Bereishis and Noach are the background, and in a way, Bereishis and Noach are background. Bereishis is the background for Noach, and Noach is the background for Lech Lecha and for Avraham Avinu. And last year, in our introduction to Chulin, we discussed how the world changed radically in the time of Noach and the opportunities that were presented at that particular time. Right, we highlighted it by focusing on, you know, the question of carnivorous diet and other such matters. But you know, clearly that the time of Noach, the original Bereishis was a time of opportunity, obviously. Even that needed to be kind of mitigated or diluted. The shift from the Elohim to Hashem, the Midas Adin and Midas Harachamim, the potential was there, but it didn't work out so well. The time of Noach was a second, the creation in a way, and again, with the second period of Arivian, or need to repeat the Isser of Shvichas Damim and everything that went along with it. But again, things deteriorated until, I guess it'll go, that's good. It doesn't have the Orachaim in it, but it'll help us for the Ramban. Thank you. So, in a sense, I say we have two, backgrounds, or two false starts, until we reach Avraham Avinu, which is the beginning of Jewish history, and rapidly Avraham Avinu establishes his credentials and becomes no longer Avram but Avraham with the name change, Av Hamon Goyim. So the first thing that Avraham Avinu does is the action or the event which is undocumented in the Torah. That is that he, in the aftermath of the deterioration post Noach, he rediscovers the Ribbono Shel Olam. And obviously that's maybe the greatest spiritual odyssey in all of history. But as we know, it's not explicit in the Torah at all. There are some references or kastim. We pick up with an Avraham Avinu who's already involved in Kiruv, according to Chazal's understanding of Hanefesh Asher Asa B'Charan, and who's already open to the Ribbono Shel Olam's Tzivui, Lech Lecha, which is obviously a demanding Tzivui. Chazal say that the Lech Lecha Bimolartecha, is the equivalent of the Lech Lecha to Har HaMoriah. So obviously, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that he's asking much of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu responds very eagerly, even exuberantly. And obviously, this is a Avraham Avinu who emerged from somewhere. He issued from some background, but we're not told what his background is. So we have a very rich Masorah and Chazal about Avraham Avinu's quest to find the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is undocumented. And surely that is very, very, very puzzling. The Ramban has a famous comment here in the beginning of Lech Lecha, where he addresses this question. He says, "How is it that when it comes to Noach, we start off? Ela told us Noach. Noach is an ish tam, tzadikaya tamin b'darosav. First, we're given Noach's credentials, and then when it comes to Avraham Avinu, again, it's as if he sprang out of nowhere. We don't know anything about him other than that he's already committed and enthusiastic, etc." The question is, why is that so? It's a very big puzzle. And the Ramban suggests a very fascinating answer why that's so. He says, see if I can find it here. V'nei zosa parsha lo bira kol ha'inyan. Ki ma tam shiyomer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu azov artzacha ve'etiva imach. Tova shalahaisa kamo ba'olam. He's looking at it from the other point of view. Why is the Ribbono Shel Olam lavishing all this incredible opportunity on Avraham Avinu? Who is he? Mibli shiyaktim shia Avram obed Elokim o tzadik tamim, an obvious reference to Noach. O shiyomer tam laziva sa'aretz shehoye balichaso la'aretz acheres kirvas Elokim. Like why does this constitute such an act of self-sacrifice? Uminaga kasev lomer hisalech lefanai, v'tishma bekoli, v'etiva imach, Kasher b'David u'b'Shlomo kinenat harakula in b'chukosai telechum shemo atishma b'kol Hashem alokecha u'b'Yitzchak amar bavur Avraham avdi avalav ticho bavur yitzias mitzias haaretz ein botam. So both in terms of his lack of background and what was so challenging and impressive about this action of Lech Lecha, all this we're kind of left wondering. It's a huge mystery. Avalatam, says the Ramban, v'pnei she'asu anche urkastim imo ro'os rabos ala munasa b'kadosh baruch hu. This is probably to explain two things. Number one, this is his credentials. He suffered for his faith. Namely, he adopted an inconvenient faith because it put him at odds, loggerheads, with the local population, including his family. Hu barach mehem alachas arta kanan b'disakev b'charan. Amar lo, lazov gam elu v'lasos kashachashav b'tchila shetiyav adasalo hu kriyas b'nei adam l'shem Hashem the Eretz HaNivcheres. The Sham Yigadel Shemo V'Yizbarchu Bo HaGoyim Ahem. O Kasher Osu Imo Bur Kazdim Shei Mevazim U'Mekalin Oso. Right, V'Som Oso B'Bor O B'Kivshon Eish, etc. Amalo Shei Yivarech Mevarchav Im Yochid Mekal Lo Yuar V'Zeh Tam HaParsha. Aval HaTorah Lo Tiratzeh L'Harich B'Deos Ovdei Avodah Zarah L'Far She'inin Shehiyah Beino Bein HaKazdim Be'Emuna Kasher Kotzra b'inyan dar enosh usfarasam b'avadazara shechidsh. So the Ramban says something really just astonishing, and that is that this whole parsha is left out because the Ramban Shalom didn't want to record, I don't know if it means we'd have to give equal time, but it didn't want to record or register in the Torah at all the conflict or the debate, the vikuach, between Avram Avinu and the people in Ur Kasdim. So instead of just, you know, glossing over the whole matter, either you're going to treat the topic and reflect the different perspectives, or you're going to omit it. So it was determined that it was better to omit than to record this theological debate. We don't want theological debates in inside Torah Shabbat. That's a very fascinating perspective. But I think that there might be another several possible answers as well. But to explain that, let me just go back for a minute, not to the beginning of Jewish history, or the third beginning of the Torah, as I call it, but to the beginning of Klal Yisrael's, I guess, establishment, Hayom HaZeh Niyeh Sala'am, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Dibros, the first public encounter between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Okay, the first individual encounter is here, it's Lech Lecha. But the first encounter with the total Klal Yisrael is in Parshas Yisro and the Aseres HaDibros, which begin with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, etc. So as we know, the Bahag, the Bahalachas Gedolos, does not count Anochi Hashem Elokecha in the Minyan Taryak. And the question is why? And the Rambam and others criticized his decision, and most of the Monei Mitzvos, beginning with the Rambam, do count Mitzius Hashem as the first of the Mitzvos. Some of them explain it just in terms of the reality, the existence per se, and some of the other Mepharshim, the Smag and the Smak, for example, try to link it up more with a clear, let's say, religious agenda or halachic agenda, in terms of hashkacha, in terms of what that implies, in terms of avodas Hashem. But the truth is that the Rambam and others simply have Metzius Hashem as the first of the mitzvahs. So the question is, why did the Bahag omit Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Metzius Hashem, from the Minyan Taryak? So the truth is, it can be explained in various ways. One way is to explain that the Bahag simply understood that mitzvos lechud and emuna l'chud. Not that you can have emuna without mitzvos or mitzvos without emuna necessarily, but the point is these are two different realms, these are two different areas in spiritual world, and they really are distinct. The truth is that, for example, we know of many great contributors to Jewish thought who were either one or the other. They were either Balei Halacha, or they were Balei, machshava, you could call it. great philosophers and mukubalim, right, who didn't have your reputation, particularly in the area of halakha. Doesn't mean they weren't fine and upstanding shomer halakha, not suggesting that. But the point is, their greatness, their contribution, was exclusively in the area of machshava. We also know the exact opposite. There were many bali halakha, some of the giants, some of the pillars, right, who, as far as we know, didn't make any particular contribution to the world of Jewish philosophy, Jewish thought, parshanut. They were strict bali halakha in that sense. Again, the figures of the Rabag and Reb Chasdai Kreskes on the philosophical side, and many others, the Amun Arama, the first of the so-called first Ravid, the author of the Sefer HaKabbalah, these are people for whom we don't really have any halachic significant contribution. The Ibn Ezra, another one. They're a whole group. I don't want to elaborate too much. And most of Chachmei Ashkenaz and Chachmei Tzarfat, as far as we know, contributed, in many cases, didn't contribute much in the area of Machshava. Now, of course, this dichotomy, if it exists, it doesn't have to be an ideal one. It could just be that some people are, experts or particularly proficient, in one area and not in another, and that's the area where they're suited to make their contribution. Or if it's temperamental, it could be educational. Or the issue of the Malkum Sheinish, what the opportunities were or the needs were of a particular generation. But I'm just pointing out that the dichotomy in one form or another is something which we're aware of. There were others who made more of it and suggested that it was a kind of principled dichotomy. And, there are those who downplayed the significance of halacha. Again, not before the last 2.5 centuries in a practical way, but at least in terms of its significance and the scheme of things. So, for example, you have, some of these kind of strange comments coming from usually, obviously, always coming from people of stature in the area of halacha. But even the Amun Arama, who I mentioned before in Zaktama, kind of, talks about how what he's doing, he called his book Amun Arama, right, Exalted Faith, is like, so much more important than, or sounds like he's saying, than, the figuring out the cases of, what's kosher and what's treif. And even the Chovos HaBavos has kind of a line in that direction, although I think what he means, you have to be careful not to group all these together. In some cases, I think what they meant was that technical applications, which are neither halacha l'maisa nor do they shed any conceptual light on a topic, they criticize sometimes people who who just sit day and night figuring out, yibum calculation cases. So you have to know how to do that, and sometimes, cracking the calculations is the first step towards, bringing to light the concepts. And certainly, if you're a posek, you have to know how to do it in case the issues come up. But what's more important, that or refining, the parameters of Yichud Hashem? So you have such statements. In some cases, they're much more dismissive. The famous one of Rabbi Yosef Ibn Kaspi is often quoted, who kind of dismissed, halacha. Yeah, you have to observe it, but you have to do it, but, the real focus of one's avodas Hashem should obviously be in the area of machshava. Even people who didn't take those, strong views, and I think crude views, but nonetheless, it's been an ongoing debate throughout Jewish history. What is the main focus of avodas Hashem? Is it really machshava? I'm talking about even among shomrei halacha, shomrei mitzvahs here. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. But I'm talking about within the camp of the committee. This has been a major debate. Even today, you go to Eretz Yisrael and look around. There are all sorts of new configurations that are cropping up. The role of machshava, the role of halacha and classical learning. I have a very clear view on this particular issue, which I'll be happy to share with you. But just as a phenomenon, it's interesting to note, this is, you know, this is kind of resurfaced in recent years for various reasons. I think there are all sorts of sociological explanations, especially why this has become a very big issue now in Eretz Yisrael, given the pressures and the various forces there, etc. But this is an ongoing question and issue. Listen, there were those who even tried to, you know, sometimes it centers around the debate of people who were of great stature in both areas, right? The most obvious, the lightning rod for these discussions, of course, is the Rambam. Right? There's what is the relationship between the Rambam of Moreh Nebuchadnezzar and the Rambam of the Mishneh Torah? And again, if you look at what's been written by intelligent people, I'm not talking about second-class scholars, so there's a wide range of discussion. That doesn't make it all equally valid. But the point is that, is the real Rambam the Rambam of the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar, who's, playing to the crowd by writing the Yad HaChazaka, or the real Rambam is the Rambam of the Yad HaChazaka, who also wrote a book, for Moreh Nebuchadnezzar, for people who are confused, who he felt it was, he felt there would be toelis, there would be benefit to have such a work. The very fact that there is such a debate, and focusing on different passages in the Rambam, in particular the last section of Moreh Nebuchadnezzar, and the famous palace mashal of the Rambam, and some other comments here and there, to try to suggest that the Rambam really focuses on one to the detriment, let's say, in terms of value at least, of the other. Similarly, Rav Sadja Gaon is much more known for his munos v'deos in certain circles than for his halachic decisions, which are equally important. And he also wrote Kuntresim on certain things, certain areas of halacha, Yerusha, and other things. The general tendency among many people is to see these things as being dichotomous, at least in terms of importance or emphasis. And that's why you get into these discussions. Havayas Dabai Barava, Davar Katan, Maisa Markava, Maisa Bereshis being a Davar Gadol. What exactly did Chazal mean by that? That's another area where this issue gets played out. The point is that there are those who saw it this way, and we therefore argue that the Bahag didn't count Emuna Bashem in his minyan Taryag because he felt, I guess philosophical issues lachud and halachic issues lachud. Okay, once you say that, then is it one more important than the other? Which one more important than the other? Or just even if you want to be neutral on that topic, they're lachud, they're separate. There is two different areas of emphasis in halacha without necessarily judging which one is more or which one is less. However, I think that is a, by and large, an anachronistic way to look at the problem. Namely, for the Gonim and for the Rishonim, by and large, it doesn't seem like that dichotomy was something that they were comfortable with. And I think that it may be true that there are people who made a contribution for whatever reason, either the contribution that came down to us or the contribution that, in fact, they made in one area more than the others because of what I said before, their temperaments, their talents, historical reasons, etc. But by and large, I don't think that this is an idea that is embraced, that there are two totally different areas and they're distinct one from the other. On the contrary, the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ravid, who was also an important Mekubal, by the way, and Rav Sadja Gaon and Rav Hai Gaon, these seem to be the ideal model. And even those who don't have the foundation to contribute in both, probably would have acknowledged that this was the model. And therefore, the Bahag's omission of the mitzvah of the Tzias Hashem is something that we need to look at again. The Ramban, of course, suggests that the basis is not the dichotomy between issues of faith and issues of practice, but on the contrary, it's the centrality, it's the foundational nature of the mitzvah of Tzias Hashem, which encouraged Bahag to omit it from the Minyan Taryag. What does that mean? Meaning to count Mitzios Hashem in the Minyan Taryag together with other mitzvos would be to trivialize this foundational mitzvah. That's the Ramban's reading of the Bahag. After all, this is the basis for everything else. Therefore, you can't simply enumerate it as a mitzvah. Not that it doesn't belong because it's a matter of machshava on the Maisa mitzvah list, but that it is so fundamental that to integrate it with shar mitzvos would be in a way to trivialize it. That's the Ramban's reading of the Baha'i. So the Rambam, who does count this mitzvah, what's his response to that particular argument? Certainly not to downgrade the importance of Mitzvah Hashem and to see it as merely another mitzvah, right? Not by temperament and not based on the evidence. As we know, the Rambam begins Yad Chazaka, Yesoda Yesoda Sa'amud HaChachmos Leida Sheyesha Matzoy Rishon Hu Mamtzi Kola Nimtza V'chol Nimtzoim Min HaShemayim V'aretz Ma Beneihem Lo Nimtzu Ela Mi'amitas Hi Matzo V'imyal Al Dash Yo Eino Matzui Ein Dabar Acher Yochol Hi Matzos V'imyal Al Dash Ein Kol HaNimtzoim Milvado Mitzuyim Hu Levado Ye Matzui V'lo Yivatel Hu Levitulam Shakol Nimtzoim Tzrichim Lo Hu Baruchush Eino Tzarech Lahem Lo Echad Mehem Lefikach Ein Amitato Kamitat Echad Mehem. And on and on. This is the whole introduction of the Rambam. It's not just that he begins with this and that he calls it Yesodei HaTorah, and it's the first of the Yesodei HaTorah. He says explicitly that this is the foundation upon which everything rests, and without it, there is nothing. Everything becomes meaningless. Everything becomes insignificant. And of course, this is his first of the Minyan of Mitzvos, and this is his first of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. The Rambam's whole temperament, of course, is a testimony to the integration of Machshava and Halacha. Again, I firmly reject both extremes of the Rambam. The notion that the Yad HaChazaka, which is an effort which is superhuman, almost unimaginable, even in a computer age it would be almost unimaginable, but in a pre-computer age, which the Rambam lived in, it's certainly shocking in an inspiring way. But the idea that the mental energy that is invested in a Yad HaChazaka is not something which reflects the the focus of one's religious life, but it's simply things to do, actions to perform, I think is just absurd. Either way, the Rambam more than anyone else obviously integrates these two domains in a magnificent way. And the fact that his halachic work begins with Sefer HaMada and with Yesodei HaTorah obviously reflects this as well. So clearly the Rambam did not reject the idea that Mitzios Hashem belongs in Taryag, doesn't belong in Taryag because it's foundational. He just felt that despite being foundational, it belonged in Taryag. So what I think is that the Rambam was trying to tell us with this two things. Number one, what I just said before, that there should be no question about the integration of these two facets of religious life. But even more than that, that each of these facets requires the other. It's important for Taryag Mitzvos that it be headlined by Mitzios Hashem, because that gives a certain stature and in a way neutralizes that other argument right to begin with. If the first of Minyan Taryag is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then in a way responding to the Bahags as the Ramban reads it point, which is, well, are you going to have on the same list Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Shiluach HaKan? That's the same thing. So the answer, in part, is yes. I mean, no and yes. In a minyan of Taryag, which is headlined, a and founded on the principle of Metzius Hashem, so everything that follows as Dvar Hashem attains a high level of spiritual significance. And in the performance level, of course, but very possibly on the value level as well. And that's a very powerful point. At the same time, it's not like you're going to, you know, trivialize Metzius Hashem a little bit in order to upgrade the rest of the list. That's not what I'm suggesting. At the same time, it's important that Metzius Hashem be linked to Tzivui Hashem, to Dvar Hashem. Because a Metzius Hashem, which is not linked to Tzivui and Dvar Hashem, right, is just, abstract theology whose significance is dubious, you know, for man, and certainly for religious man. So even as the list requires Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha requires the norm, the list of Taryag. And where did this come from? So I think possibly from Avram Avinu. Say, why did the Torah omit Metzius Hashem? So I once wrote something a long time ago in which I suggested that the Medrash, you know, and the Mefarshim have all sorts of, they fill in the blank in all sorts of diverse ways. Like, how did Avraham Avinu come to the conclusion that there was a single God and that God was to be served and that that was the purpose of life, etc.? And all sorts of different philosophical arguments and other mechanisms are quoted in the Medrash and in Mefarshim to explain this. So number one, I was suggesting then that the range, you know, is fascinating, and it's not necessarily mutually exclusive in two senses. Number one, different people might come to Metzius Hashem in different ways, and there isn't a single normative way to do that. For Avraham Avinu's quest, Odyssey, to be recorded, it would have biased, I guess, other legitimate paths to Metzius Hashem. Moreover, just as some views in Chazal suggest, that Avram's quest was a complex one and a multiple one. There are different views whether he started at 3 or at 40 or 38 or... The Rambam seems to say that, you know, his quest was a mature one, but that it began very early. And the Hagos Mamunios and the Ramach suggest that the different ages in Chazal are not mutually exclusive at all. Meaning, Avraham Avinu himself probably came to Metzius Hashem in different ways at different stages. Because the way that a 3-year-old would come to Amunah is quite different than that of a 38 or a 40-year-old. The point is that not only are the diverse mechanisms legitimate and valid, but probably kolatzmosai tomarna Hashem michamocha. Probably it's important to integrate one's belief in various different ways, using different faculties, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, etc. And at different points in time, and for every individual, a multiple method is also important and significant. So as not to exclude any of that, and not to, you know, write a whole sefer just on Avraham Avinu's quest, maybe it was easier for the details to be left out. In addition to that, more important than the mechanism of how he came to it is the fact that he came to it, and the fact that he was committed, that it wasn't just a theoretical awareness, it wasn't just a purely abstract theological quest, but that it changed his life. It caused him, Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha, to turn his back on his past, which is a very difficult thing to do. And we see from the story of Lot how loyal, family loyal, a person Avraham Avinu was. We see from all the other stories what a compassionate person he was. The difficulty that of turning his back on his previous family and way of life is not something to be discounted. So what the Torah is telling us is more important than how he came to it is the level and intensity and the content of his belief. What I'd like to suggest is to add one other point based on what I'm saying now, which is, in addition to all of that, the Torah wanted to frame Avraham Avinu's emuna in the context of Lech Lecha. The first thing that we do read about Avraham Avinu is his response to the norm. His Taryag Mitzvos, the first of his Taryag Mitzvos, was in fact, explicitly, was in fact Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha was his tzivui. It's fascinating that the Aruch Chaim raises the question, similar to the Ramban, like where is the background of Avraham Avinu who's being issued this tzivui? But in addition, he also points something out, and that is that previously and following Avraham Avinu, there's always a kind of hitgalut Hashem before there is a conversation. By Yera Elav Hashem, Rabban Shalom appears, you know, to whatever, Avram, Noach, Adam, later on Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. You know, first Rabban Shalom appears and then he speaks. And it's just an interesting insight. Here, all of a sudden, it's Vayomer Hashem El Avram Lech Lecha. So where's the introduction and the experience? So the Aruch Chaim says, oh, that's the unstated, undocumented theological quest. That's the missing part of the Torah. In other words, it's true that the Torah doesn't record and register, right, the Metzios Hashem part until it's ready to focus on the Maisa Mitzvos of Lech Lecha. And it's also true that there never could have been a Lech Lecha without the prior Hagdama of the Odyssey of the quest for monotheism. And that's what the Aruch Chaim is, I think, saying in a very beautiful way. The Medrash says that Avraham Avinu's Emuna is the foundation for all of Klal Yisrael's Emuna. When the Psukim in Shemos speak about Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Abdo, so the Mechilta there in that Parsha says it's all due to Avraham Avinu. And we're told this in various different Midrashim. Gemara and Shabbat says that Yisrael Maminim B'nei Maminim, because the Ribbono Shel Olam characterized Avraham Avinu Ve'emin Bashem Vayachsheveha Lo Tzedaka. Again, the Mechilta that I mentioned before, Lo Yorash Avraham Avinu Olam Azeb Olam Abba Elo B'schus Ve'emuna She'emin Bashem Ve'emin Bashem Vayachsheveha Lo Tzedaka Kedai Emunas Avraham Avinu She'ekra Lahem Es Hayam. Again, the Mechilta Tashuri Meirosh Amana, referring to the Psukim in Shemos, the Ezat Skus Yisrael Omrim Shira, the Skus Avraham Avinu, Shenemar Behemin Bashem, Bayakshavehalo Tzedaka. Veotsesa Meir Kazdim Besamta Shemo Avraham Matsasa Slavavo Neeman Lefanecha. So the Midrash in Tehillim says that's a reference to Behemin Bashem. So it's fascinating. All this refers to the Rabbanu Shalom calling Avraham Avinu, for the first time that the phrase is ever used, a ma'amin. But his amuna here is Behemin Bashem Vayachsheveha Lo Tzedaka, is not only the amuna of finding the Rabbanu Shalom, the undocumented one. It's in the continuation after Lech Lecha and everything that comes with it, including the embrace of his destiny, Ko Yeh Zaracha, or the schus of being Yoresh Eretz Yisrael. It's in that context and his commitment and belief and faith of all of the above that we say Behemin Bashem Vayachsheveha Lo Tzedaka, which makes Avraham Avinu's emuna significant. So what we have in Avraham Avinu is this exact paradigm. We have the integration of the emuna and the Shemiras HaMitzvos, if you will, or the commitment to observe the norm. And we have it in both directions. We have the idea that the emuna is the foundation of everything that follows, of all emuna, and particularly of Lech Lecha. We also have the opposite, the idea that the emuna, if it wasn't linked with the Lech Lecha, would be incomplete, wouldn't be worth speaking about either. I've always felt that when the pasuk says, I can't prove it, Behemin Bashem Vayachsheveha Lo Tzedaka, that it doesn't just refer to the specific emuna of Ko Yeh Zaracha, But this is the moment when Biglai Milsa L'Mafreya, that the original Vehemin Ba'Hashem comes to its culmination and to its climax. But from this point of view, I think we can also appreciate that Emuna is meant to impact on the Lech Lecha, on the Taryag Mitzvos, in a way that is transforming of it as well. I have to stop here, so maybe I'll just finish with this next time. And that in the following, just to mention in the following way. The Beis HaLevi has a very interesting comment in, I think, Parshas Truma, where he says that a person who cultivates the Midah of Emuna is allowed to pursue mitzvos for their schar. Because in a sense, if he is a Baal Emuna, then the schar of the mitzvah isn't just something extraneous to the mitzvah. It becomes kind of something that is an internal aspect of Avodas Hashem, which in a way dovetails with the requirement of Lishma. So I want to pursue that next time, just very, very quickly. The idea, it seems to be, that again, Emunah isn't just the background, which is foundational. It also is transformative in the rest of how you go about, or how you go about implementing the rest of Taryag and certain other avodos as well. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm sorry, a little late, so we'll continue with this next time, or people have space.